Last night I had a special experience. My good friend Bill, who I've known for a long time, invited us to the Canucks game. Now that's not a, well, it's a special experience, but it's not a new experience for me. I'm a diehard Canucks fan and I get to a few games every year, even when they suck. But last night was special because Bill had arranged, had booked an executive suite for about 20 of us to enjoy together. And that was I've been just about every corner of that arena, but I'd never been in one of those suites. And it was nice. It was roomy. A guy like me really appreciates that. There was food and drink galore. It was nice. Really enjoyed it. And the Canucks won, bonus. As long as they don't win too much, but that's another subject. On my way out, though, well, at first I was enjoying the fact that if you're in one of those suites, you get to exit most of the way out of the building through a hallway that's not at all crowded with people. It's luxurious even in the hallway. But then I realized as we were leaving that the hallway coming the other direction, in my case, was cart after cart after cart of leftover food from all of those luxury boxes. Now, I don't know what they do with all of that, but at the very least, hopefully it gets composted. But it just made me aware of the sad reality of the huge gap in our society, of those struggling, especially right now with increasing food prices, and those of us who have so much that we're tossing out piles of it. And we might find ourselves on either side of that equation at various times, but most of us here are in the abundant category, aren't we? Certainly compared to most of the world. Now, our scripture reading today is from the ancient book of the law, Leviticus, which contains holiness codes, all kinds of laws and rules about how people need to be holy and live in holy ways. How do we live and conduct ourselves as people of God? And honestly, I don't preach from this section of the Bible very often. Some might call it rather boring, tedious. It's like reading, well, laws. And it's hard to relate to laws that were important and appropriate thousands and thousands of years ago in ancient Palestine. But if the great covenants of the scriptures and the Ten Commandments are like the constitutional law of the Bible, of the people of God, then it's Leviticus that is full of all the details and the law in that time. Sections and subsections of detailed laws and bylaws that are pretty hard for us to relate to. Anybody that's been on city council or on, you know, worked for this for municipal government might be able to relate. But most of us have a little trouble there. But like the rest of the Bible, which is made up of a huge variety of literature, gathered over hundreds and even thousands of years, there are good and important principles that can speak to us even today in our time. We hear in Leviticus that God is invested in every part, every aspect of our lives. Everything matters. Every word we speak, every thought we have about one another, every choice we make, every ritual we engage in, and every bit of food we eat. All of it expresses our interconnectedness and the sacred nature of all of life. And there is no way for us to live in holiness, into the sacredness of life, outside of being in community. We can't do it by ourselves, and it's not about just our individual behavior. It's about how we live as a community. There is no way for us to mirror God's holiness without benefiting, caring for our neighbors. Now, back to what I started with about food. Our particular passage today tells us to share our food, not to hoard our possessions, to do right by our neighbor, to be just. And in particular, it focuses on the practice of gleaning. Do you know what gleaning is? It means that a farmer, when they're harvesting their crop, they leave the edges of their crop unharvested. About 10% of their crop is left around the edges of their fields. And they don't pick up things that drop to the ground, the fruit or other things, because those things are left to be harvested and gathered by those who need it, by the poor and the foreigners that are in that land. It's commanded right in those detailed laws of Leviticus. Now, did any of you hear growing up, or more recently, someone say to you, leave room for dessert? You hear it in the restaurant sometimes, right? Leave room for dessert. Don't eat too much. Even if we have that extra special pocket for dessert, we can fill it up with too much good food. And Leviticus says that it is a good practice to leave room. Now, I do realize that it's risky and perhaps quite foolish for someone like me, who doesn't have the healthiest relationship with food, to talk about how our relationship with food is an important aspect of our spiritual and mental well-being. But it's true. And some of us struggle with it more than others. But I bet you most of us struggle with it in one way or another. There are nutritional deficits in our lives and in our community. There are people going hungry who need better access to food right here in our neighborhood. We see about, well, people representing about 70 people every week who pick up meals. And another 40 or 50 are distributed on our behalf. So these days we're distributing about 120 meals or more every week. Some of those folks really need that food. Some of them, not as much, but we don't know all the circumstances in their lives. And there's a nutritional deficit in our community, in spiritual and mental ways as well. In our own lives, perhaps. How do we consume, how do we use and enjoy the abundance of God's gifts to us, whether it's food, land, possessions, relationships, gifts of various kinds? How do we enjoy all that God gives us and leave room by not overindulging, by not taking more than our share? Oh, that's a hard one. Because it's so easy here in abundant Canada, North America, to have more than our share. It's right here, all around us. So the principle of gleaning is one that is commended to us from ancient times, even though it's all there for us to harvest. How can we leave room for others in our world, in our community, in our lives? Well, one of the ways I want to suggest we can do that is to learn about the rich history of African and Black folks here in Canada and in this region. It's one of the ways that we can heal our disorders and leave room for previously marginalized voices that, if we listen, like those great gospel songs, can sweeten all of our lives so much. Did you know, I only learned this recently, I didn't go to school here in BC, so maybe you all know this already, but did you know the very first governor of British Columbia was a person of Afro-Caribbean heritage? James Douglas, did you know that? It's not always pointed out. His father was Scottish. He was born in what we now called Guyana. And his mother was a free woman of Barbadian Creole ancestry. And that made a difference in how he conducted himself in his life and in his work. First of all, as a high up in the Hudson Bay Company, and then as a public official who became governor of British Columbia. His son, James W. Douglas, became the first person of Black ancestry to serve in the Legislative Assembly when he was elected in 1875. Before that, though, in 1858, it was Governor Sir James Douglas who invited a group of settlers who were fleeing discrimination in California to come and settle. These were African American free folks who he invited to come up and settle on Vancouver Island in Victoria, in the fort in those days. They were hardworking settlers who would be loyal to the British Crown, and it served his political purpose too. We had all these Americans coming up in the gold rush. They wanted to make sure we held on to this part of the world for the British Crown. And so that's where the origin of a large part of the Black community, especially in Victoria area comes from. About 800 people arrived in those days on the promise of opportunity and access to public life. And those new settlers flourished in their new home, contributing to growth in the colony. And many relatives of those first black pioneers still make their home in BC and can take pride in knowing that their ancestors were early builders of our province. So that's just one little tidbit. We are hearing some of the wonderful legacy of Afro-Canadian composers through our service today, Oscar Peterson and others. We're taught that gleaning is about hospitality. We sometimes talk in the church about radical hospitality. And hospitality is good, it's important. But if you're being hospitable to someone, it's because you're the host and they're the guest, right? And that's fine if folks are visiting. But we're called to go beyond even radical hospitality. That goes beyond maintaining our privileged position as hosts and keeping others in the role of guest. Practices like celebrating Black History Month, doing our land acknowledgement and actually acting on it, invite us to go beyond mere hospitality to making justice, making room for all the members of our community, especially those who have been silenced in the past. It's not a charitable favor that we do for the unfortunates. It's a vital practice that seeks to heal the brokenness that is part of all of our lives. Brokenness that is within all of us and affects every aspect of our lives. There's an Aboriginal elder from Queensland, Australia, Lila Watson, once said many years ago, "If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." Our liberation, all of us, our liberation is bound up together. If someone in our society is not free, if someone in our society does not have access to the abundance, then none of us are free. Our passage ends today with a phrase I'm sure you've heard before. The summary of the holiness code is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Of course, Jesus famously quoted that, but it goes way back to Leviticus. To be holy, to be in good relationship with our Creator, with each other, is to love and care for each other as much as we care for ourselves, and to care for ourselves as much as we care for each other. When we leave room for each other, we leave room for dessert, for the delicious, special joy that God intends for us all. Now, I invite you to watch a very short video about some of our fellow United Church folks.